Good morning. I hope all of y'all have had a good week. I have. Watched a little TV, played a little golf, read a book, did everything my wife asked me to do. It's been a good week. And so I thought I would preach this morning on things Christians ought not to do. The scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, Peter is preparing Christians in Asia Minor, today what we would call Turkey, about the persecution of Christians by Nero, who was the emperor of Rome. Peter writes this letter to these recently converted Christians to encourage them to stay faithful during persecution. So in this first chapter, he describes what has happened to them in Jesus Christ. And in the second chapter, he says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, and like newborn babies, crave pure milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, I'm not saying this bragging, but I'm starting my 22nd year of picking up trash on Pierce Avenue. Every Saturday morning, if I'm in town, I get in my golf cart about 8 o'clock with my picker and my trash can, and I leave my house. I come all the way to this corner. I cross over, go all the way down to Riverside, and then I come up to my house. And I have to empty that trash can about 2 or 3 times. If it can be thrown out, people do it on Pierce Avenue. And I've yet to catch up with them. I've yet to get ahead of them. In fact, a lot of times before I can get through, they've thrown it out behind me. Some of y'all have been known to sneak up behind me in your cars and blow the horn at me. Lee, I think you did that. Hadn't you? And then some of y'all got these white polar bear dogs in your yard. They're supposed to be dogs, but I tell you, these two look like polar bears. They just sit there and wait for me to come up the road, and they kind of like say, come over here and get our trash. And when you get over there, they're just about ready to eat you alive. But the lady says they're just easy and calm, wouldn't hurt a flea. But my best story is the day that I think I was at that same yard down in the ditch getting up some trash. And the deputy sheriff for the Bibb County Sheriff's Department pulled up, had the light flashing. He got out, put on his smoky hat. I was in that ditch looking up at that sheriff. And he said, sir, you want to tell me what you're doing down there? I said, yes, sir, I'm just picking up trash. He said, now, are you doing this because the courts told you to do it? And I said, no, sir, I'm just doing this as a community service. And he said, you're a strange one in our community. I said, yeah, this ain't exactly something everybody likes to do. I said, did I do something wrong? He said, no, but the guy up here on the corner says that you're stealing his pecans out of his yard. And I said, no, sir. I said, I promise you, if you find a pecan on me or in this cart, you can haul us both in, but I'm not stealing any pecans. I'm just picking up trash. I said, but I'll go up and explain it to him and tell him what I'm doing. He said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll handle it. And anyway, I just went on down the road picking up trash. I got down almost to the Shell station, and this black SUV pulled up, kind of blocked me. This lady hops out, gives me a cup of coffee. She said, my husband's crazy. I just want to apologize for what he did. Anything can go wrong picking up trash on Saturday morning. But Thursday nights at our house, about 8 o'clock, 7:30, either myself or Sarah one, we will start going through the house like a lot of you do probably and emptying the trash cans and putting it in the mobile toter and getting it up to the place where the people come to pick it up, because I don't know about y'all, but they get our house about 6:30 in the morning, and if you don't have it up there early, you know, you're going to miss out on it. So we go through and we empty everything. We empty trash during the week, but Thursday night we get it all, and we try to stay ahead of them. Well, ever so often, in churches where I had pastored, at least once a year, we would have what you call a spiritual renewal weekend, a time of prayer, a time of Bible study, a time of meditation, special singing, special preaching, time to sort of like a revival, but maybe a little more, but just a time to kind of get your eyes reopened and make yourself aware of what all's going on around you and helping you to realize God's presence in your life. And when I read 1 Peter, that's what I sort of see here. I think Peter had this experience with these Christians that he addressed here in this second chapter. He saw the lights come on in their eyes. He saw newness being experienced in their lives. And he says to them very direct things that Christians ought to know. He says there are some things that you need to get out of your life. You need to throw this in the trash can. You need to put it in the waste paper basket. Now, we're living in a day where we don't like to say things negative. But the Bible makes it very clear there are some things you just don't do if you're a Christian. And he lists five of them in this passage, and he talks about what should take place of those things as a result. And in this regard, there are some things that need to be substituted and some things that need to be added. But there are some things we need to literally get rid of. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the sins of the flesh. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit murder. And then the fifth chapter of Galatians is about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And he talks about idolatry and immorality and fornication and sorcery, against which there is no law. Paul says there in the fifth chapter of Galatians. And then you recall the story of the prodigal son who leaves home and he takes his money and goes out and spends it on riotous living there in a far country. And he decides to come home and the father receives him and there's great rejoicing. They celebrate. Then the older son who stayed home becomes grouchy, becomes mad because he's selfish. And so the father has two sons, a good boy with a bad attitude and a bad boy with a good attitude. The boy that went into the far country committed the sins of the flesh, and the boy who stayed home committed the sins of the spirit, and each is condemned in the story. Well, Paul in Galatians talks about the sins of the flesh. Now, we're talking about the sins of the Spirit. We're talking about the sins of the Spirit. And there's no middle ground. There's no negation. He simply says, rid yourself of malice and hypocrisy and deceit and envy of every kind and slander of every kind. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Get a waste paper basket. Throw it away. Take out the garbage. There is virtue, believe it or not, in a waste paper basket. The virtue is it cleans up your house. Can you imagine if you didn't have a waste paper basket? Well, I want us this morning just to look at these a little bit. You know, what do we need to take out of our lives so our lives will be better, that we will be more as Christ would have us to be? You know, what are we to put in the waste paper basket? What are we to put in the garbage bin? What should go out to the curb and then we say goodbye to it forever? Well, first of all, there's that word malice. Now, we throw that word around all the time. In fact, in some commentators say it ought to be translated purely as just evil, and all other sins come underneath it. But I choose to see it as one of the five sins that we need to take out of our lives because they're evidence of the sins of the Spirit. He says, get rid of malice. Incidentally, when we were young, the sins of the flesh seem to be raging within us. And trust me, as you get older, the sins of the flesh die down and the sins of the Spirit begin to rage within us. Malice is depravity, wickedness. It's an ungodly spirit of ill will that seeks to injure other people. You know, somebody who takes delight in bringing pain to people. Malice is the desire to get revenge. We talked a little bit about this last week. It's the intention to harm your neighbor. You know, the two ways you can look at it, you can, first of all, be big and tall. And one is to do everything you can to have good nature and good character, good reputation. The other is to pull somebody down. And if you pull somebody else down, then it makes you look a little taller. But the problem is, in the process of pulling somebody else down, you also pull your own self down. My wife commented last week, we were sitting there in the den, and she said, "You talked about revenge. Do you realize how many TV shows, motion pictures, books are all about revenge? Buddy, we're going to get even." In the West Indies, the manzanilla tree has a sap that causes blisters. And if you touch it, it will stick to you and it just will inflame your hand or your foot if you step on it. But it's the way that plant protects itself. But as it protects itself, it poisons everything that it comes in contact with. Peter makes it clear. If you're born again and you know Jesus Christ, you get rid of this kind of attitude because you don't want to poison other people. Get malice out of your life. Now, it doesn't happen automatically. It's a conscious decision. You have to decide. You have to choose. So many people think within the Christian community they suddenly don't have to make any decisions about anything. It just happens. Well, that's not the case. When we enter the Christian door and we say yes to Jesus Christ, and then we begin to become sensitized to the way the Spirit would have us to grow, you know, it's a conscious decision that I'm going to live the way I should live. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do the right thing at the right time all the time. And it's a conscious, continuous decision you have to make every day. And you do that, first of all, to get malice out of your life. I'm not going to be ill-willed. I'm not going to seek revenge. I don't have to get even. The second of these five sins is deceit. Deceitful wickedness. Dirty tricks. Being sly. Treacherous. It's the opposite of frank and sincerity, frankness and sincerity. You know, sometimes the Christian community picks up a lot of gill. We're slippery. You know, we're oily. We don't want to be frank and honest. In fact, the Christian community does honor frankness and sincerity as much as it does slippery people. You know, sometimes we don't like to be confronted. We don't want to deal with confrontation. So we might turn the other cheek or look the other way. Deceit is pretending to be fair when you're not fair. It's pretending to be generous when you're not generous at all. It's pretending to be honest when in fact you're a liar. Nobody wants to be that way. But we sometimes find it easier to do that than not do it. But then we don't like the long-term consequence of what happens when we're deceitful. Have you ever met people who are just so oily you don't trust them? They have no traction in their personality? That's what Peter's talking about here. He says, get rid of malice. Get rid of guilt. Just throw it away. Put it in the garbage can. Roll it out to the curb. Let the trash folks pick it up and take it away, and then you're rid of it. Then he talks about hypocrisy. Man, I like this one. You spend all day talking about this. We haven't thought about a new criticism against the Christian faith in 2,000 years. We haven't thought of a new way to sin in 5,000 years. And it's not infrequent for somebody to say, well, I'd come to your church, but there's so many hypocrites in that church. Well, you're right. One of them's a preacher. One of them's a minister to children. Some of them sing in the choir. Some of them are deacons. We got a lot of hypocrites in the church. But I'd rather spend time with a few hypocrites in church than spend eternity with all of them. Now, if you don't come to church because you don't like the hypocrites, well, then you need to quit going to work because there's some hypocrites where you work. And you need to quit going to Belk's because there's some hypocrites there too. And you don't have to go to Natalia's anymore because there's some there too. And quit going to your doctor. Some of them are hypocrites. You know, it's not a very good excuse. Next time you're dealing with anyone, just ask yourself, am I dealing with a hypocrite? Now, when I say there's a lot of hypocrites in the church, I was saying all of us stumble along the way trying to be pure and straight. But at least we're hypocrites who are trying to get life right. I mean, it's not an excuse, but a hypocrite is actually a word for a play actor. You know, we're wearing masks. It means someone who's pretending to be something they're not. The world is full of camouflage, isn't it? Everything we look at and see is not what it appears. I read an article some time ago about the Atkins diet. Said you ought to get on this diet, you can lose weight. And then the next week, I read another article about the Atkins diet and said, if you get on it, you're probably going to die. And then the next week, doggone it, President Clinton, who was on the Atkins diet, he had a heart attack. I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do that. Your clothes are 100% wool, except tires on your car are 100% rubber, except artificial flowers, camouflage teeth, camouflage hair. One of my pastor friends is bald. I said, you ought to get a toupee. He said, I can't do that. He said, I'd feel dishonest preaching on honesty if I wore a toupee. Well, Jesus just blistered the hypocrites in the Bible. Those who are piously praying on the street corner, living just the opposite. Those who come to church and bring their offerings and hate their brother and sister. He says, go and make it right with your brother and then bring your offering. You know, let's get rid of the hypocrisy. And the only way that we can do that is for us each to examine our own lives and just see how honest we are and how true we are to what we profess and how we live. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. All of us do. But at least we're trying. Peter talks about envy. Get rid of envy. I think that's the thing that pushes most of us. The first murder that happened, Cain killed Abel. It was worship envy, how we're going to worship, arguing about what to do in church. You know, envy destroys more than we can ever imagine. I read this mythological story about a cabbage plant, and they were talking to each other. And one cabbage was talking to the other, and he said, you got some dark spots on your leaves. And the other cabbage said, oh, they won't make any difference. I'll outgrow them. I can deal with those dark spots. Well, those spots were the eggs of a caterpillar. And they hatched, and they began to devour the cabbage. And that's what envy does. There are a lot of people I know who would say, well, I can deal with a little envy. But they find out that a little envy hatches, and spiritual caterpillars begin to destroy their lives. And envy is like caterpillar eggs on a cabbage. It's deadly poison. Throw it in the wastebasket. If you're envious of someone else, you know why? It's because they refinanced their car so they were able to get a new car. If you're insecure with yourself, you won't be able to get away from that. The last thing he said was get rid of evil speaking. I agree. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Whoever said that didn't know what they were talking about. Names do hurt. I think I'd rather somebody hit me than call me a name. You realize what they're saying about you, and you realize it hurts. And we do it. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. It was a village. And in that little village was a lady, and she had a bad habit about talking about people. And she had a worse habit about saying things about them that were detrimental and wrong and hurtful. And at some point, she became convicted of her sinful nature, so she went to her priest, and she said, I've been wrong about this. I want to do something about this, so what can I do to make it right? And the priest said, I want you to go home and take one of your pillows, and I want you to go out to that little knoll out there by the creek, and I want you to rip that pillow open and let those feathers just fly through the wind. And so she did. And she went back to the priest, and she said, I've done that. What do I do now? And he said, I want you to go back and gather up all those feathers. And she said, I can't do that. And he said, the same is true with our words. Words have a life. Once you say them, you really can't get them back. Let me add that Jesus talks about cleaning house not putting things back in it. Seven times the devils came in the house as they were cleaned out. I want us to clean up our houses, use our trash cans, use our waste paper baskets, get rid of the garbage and fill it with God's word. You know, we take some things out, we put some things in, we throw out malice and we bring in God's word, and we listen to what God says to us. As children need mother's milk, so Christians need the Bible, so Christians need prayer, and Christian needs fellowship. And the result of that is we grow as Christians. We can love the unloved, we can give generously, because we're living on the milk of the Word that teaches us to do those things, and reminds us to do those things, and encourages us to do those things. I hope we will all use it, and then fill our hearts and our houses with growing Christians, with growing minds, who are reading and studying God's Word. It's a simple task. It is so simple, but it's hard to do because time and activities rob us of this little bit of study time that we're willing to find, that window of opportunity where we can sit and do those things. And so often we'll put this aside, I'm going to go ahead and do this, I'm going to go ahead and do that, and before long we haven't done this at all. It's a conscious decision, and you have to discipline yourself to do it. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for our time together, for those who are here in present and those who are watching over the internet. We thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to us and reminds us that the only way we can be everything you want us to be is to rid us of those things that keep us from being that individual you would have. So we ask you to strengthen us, give us courage and give us strength and give us power through your Holy Spirit, and help us to be all that you want us to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation you will find printed in your bulletin, What Grace Is Mine. Let's stand together and let's sing.